Church, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number, 10. John, chapter number 10. John, chapter number 10, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse number 10. John 10 from verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Eternal Father, the one that commands light to shine out of darkness, we gather this morning as your people, as indeed the sheep of your pasture. We ask, O Lord, that you will bring illumination into our heart as we hear God's word this morning. Lord, I pray for an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people this morning, that they will receive this word, the engrafted word of God. Lord, I pray for an anointing upon me, that you will anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit and anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer to inscribe the word that your people need in their heart, in the recess of their heart, O Lord, so that together, Lord, this word will build us up. It will encourage, it will empower, it will correct, it will give instruction in righteousness. So that, Lord, there will be liberation, O God, there will be indeed a release in our spirit. And Lord, we'll receive all that you have for us through your word this morning. Angels of God, I charge you to go forth right now. The Bible says, are they not ministering spirits? Send forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Speak only that which belongs to the Father into the heart of God's people. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, big amen, amen, amen. The greatest introduction. We started that series a few weeks ago. And we've been going through the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this very clearly right from the outset. The I am statement of the Lord Jesus Christ were not just introductions. They were not just declarations. They were indeed invitations. In other words, they were not just proclamations or declarations by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were invitations for us to appreciate and to see certain things in him that we would otherwise have missed. So there are invitations given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we started in the first week, we saw Jesus as the bread of life. And we concluded through God's word that Jesus being the bread of life means he's the one that satisfies us. He gives sustenance to our soul. We saw Jesus as the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And we say Jesus is the one that lights the darkness as the people of God transited through the wilderness. And the same way is the one that will light our darkness, is the only guarantee that we're going to reach our destination if we follow him. We saw Jesus last week as the I am, the resurrection and the life. And we say Jesus gave the promise of resurrection, but he also gave the gift of life so that we'll live before we die. And we know that we have a promise of living after we are dead. So we looked at the two aspects. Is there life after death? And is there life before death? Because he came to give both the life as a resurrection and the life for us to live. So there is a life to live before you die. and we dealt with that extensively. And I'm so I've been so blessed by this series. I know that when I stand here by the grace of God to minister to God's people, you don't appreciate how much I'm benefiting from what I'm sharing. The Lord has opened my eyes to certain things that I did not know about these statements of the Lord Jesus Christ before now. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at this other I am statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the title is The Door of the Sheep, because that's what he declared himself to be here. I am the door of the sheep. So this is not just a declaration. It's not just an introduction. It is not just a proclamation. It is an invitation. So let's see what Jesus is inviting us into by introducing himself to us as the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Now, in the previous I am statement that we have dealt with by the grace of God, we realize that those I am statements did not just come out of the blues. They were not just made out of nothing. They were usually made in the context of an event, an occurrence. Something had happened and Jesus had made this statement. So there was the people that were present in his day and time understood what he was talking about because there had been an event that has taken place preceding the statement being made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same has happened here. Now, when he introduced himself as the bread of life, he had just fed 5,000. When he introduced himself as the light of the world, it was in the context of the people were celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles and the giant candelabras were being lit. And they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, whereby the light of God, you know, led them through the wilderness. And Jesus introduced himself as, I am the light of the world. When Jesus introduced himself as, I am the resurrection and the life, there was an event that had taken place. Lazarus had died, and Jesus was going to raise him up. And Jesus wanted to prove to them that the resurrection that was going to take place in the future is not just going to be an event. It will take place because there was the person of resurrection. And that was why he introduced himself in that context. And we knew exactly what happened. We know exactly what happened afterwards. He raised up Lazarus from the dead after 4 days that the man was dead. Now, exactly the same way, I am the door of the sheep was not just a statement made out of the blues. It was a statement that was made in the context of what was happening to them. And until we appreciate what happened and the event that preceded the I am statement, they won't get the full picture. And don't forget that this happened to the people that lived under a particular context, societal context. So they understood exactly what Jesus meant by I am the door of the sheep. Now, living 2,000 years afterwards does not put us at an advantage whatsoever to understand this. But we will just trust the Holy Spirit to help us to understand this morning. And I want you to take a journey back with me to what it was 2,000 years ago. So we're going to be doing time travels, okay, throughout this series. What it was 2,000 years ago and what I am the door will have meant to them. Now, let me say this. I love this particular series because we're not just talking about systems. We're not just talking about principles. We're not just talking about, you know, the strategies to live life. We're talking about the real person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the center. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. He is what Christianity is all about. If we miss him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've missed all. So this is why this series is so key, so important. Because like I said, we're not just talking about some strategies, some principles, which are all good. But we're talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom everything emanates. Okay, now, this particular statement was made after an event that took place in John chapter 9. Now, let me remind you, people of God, that the original Bible, the manuscript from where we have what we have, what we call the Bible today, were never written in chapters and in verses. For instance, the epistles was just a letter that was written to the people, the Galatians, a letter was written to them, right? The Colossians, a letter was written to them. And just like you will write a letter today, you don't send an email and put chapter 1, chapter 2, you know. except if you are writing a thesis, you know, a dissertation. It was a letter. This was just a narrative. Most of the things that you find in the Old Testament, they were just narratives. Okay, so they did not come with chapters and verses. So this particular chapter 9 was never in the original manuscripts and the verses. Somebody say, how dare them to have put it? It was important for them to put it because for reference. Otherwise, if I had wanted us to read this place this morning, how would I have told you where to read? I would have said, let's open our book to John. And then let's look for the place where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And the service will be over by the time some of us will find the place. You understand what I'm talking about? So the verses and the chapters were put there for reference, just to make it easy for us for reference. Now, but there is a small problem that comes with that. And the small problem is the fact that sometimes, because there are chapters, when we read and we finish a chapter, we close that place as a compartment, a situation as finished. So when we start the next chapter, we think it's a new day, a new week, perhaps a new year, but it does not always follow that way, and that's exactly what we find in this particular place. Now, chapter 9 and chapter 10 happen exactly the same way. Jesus spoke these things to the same set of people. It was in the same context. So for us to understand what chapter 10 was all about, I'm afraid we'll need to go to chapter 9. Now, what happened in chapter 9? Jesus came and he found a man, and I will be very brief with this, you know. Came to a man that was born blind, and it was actually his disciples that called his attention to this man. Jesus, this man was born blind. Who had sinned? Him or the parents? Very tricky question, you know. And Jesus said, no, neither this man nor his parents had sinned. But that the work of the Lord may be done in him. I must work the work of him who sent me while he's there. For the night comes when no man can. Profound word of God. Profound scriptures. Profound. Profound. Because if we sit down there today, we won't finish. Now, let's just drop it and let's go. So, the Bible says, his path on the ground, made a clay, put it on the eyes of this man, and he told him, go into the pool of Siloam to wash. And the man went and washed and he regained his sight. Now, he regained his sight and was happy and excited about it. But there were some people that were not excited about that story at all, that situation. They were called the Pharisees, the Jews of those days. They were not excited about it. And then they called the man and he said, was it not you that was blind? How come you can now see? You know? And he said, a man called me and he said, he spat on the ground, anointed my eyes with the clay, and he said, go to the pool of Siloam. And I went and I regained my sight. It was that simple. How dare you? How can you regain your sight? They asked, you know. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. How can you regain your sight? You're supposed to be blind. You know, you can't be seen, you know. But the man said, well, I don't know what had happened, but that's exactly what happened to me. He anointed my eyes. He asked me to go to the pool of Siloam, and I came back seeing. Said, where are your parents? And they brought the parents. Is it true that this guy is actually your son? Is it true that he was born blind? How come that he's now able to see? Interesting story. You need to read it. And the parents said, well, first question. You know, when you respond to email and there are so many questions, you just highlight the answer. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. First question, is he our son? Yes, he's our son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. How come he's able to see? I'm sorry, sir. You need to ask him. He's of age. And the Bible says that they said that because they were afraid of the Jews, because they were going to send them away out of the synagogue. Now, the synagogue is like the church. In those day and time, the Jews don't want to be sent out of the synagogue. Now, today, nobody cares. I mean, if you send me out of church, praise God, I don't even want to come in the first place, no? But in their day and time, if you don't go into the synagogue, it's a crisis. How will you not have communication with God? Okay? So they said that, and they asked them to go and ask the man. He's of age. He can answer that for himself because they were afraid of the Jews. And then they came to the man again. Did you really say that you were blind before? He said, yeah, I just told you. I mean, all of you knew I was blind. Can you see now? Of course I can see you. I can see that you've got, you know, a long hair and your face is not so looking good. Now, but he didn't say that. I'm just trying to, you know. And then he said, okay, so who did this? And he explained to them again. And the man was getting fed up. I said, do you also want to become his disciples? I mean, why these many questions? Do you want to become his disciples? And he said, no. We are the disciples of Moses. I mean, what? No, go away, you know. And they sent him out of the synagogue. Now, Jesus came and he met the man. And Jesus said, Jesus understood what had gone wrong. They sent you out? That's fine. He said, and Jesus told him that you just need to believe in the Son of God. And he said, show me the person so that I will believe. He said, he that speaks with you is he. And he said, I believe, Lord, and all those. And then he concluded this way in verse number 20, chapter 9 from verse 24. Sorry, from verse 40. I mean, from verse 39. John chapter 9, verse 39. Are you following my story? Yeah, great. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see, I'm reading John chapter 9, verse 39. For judgment I have come into this world, for that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this word and said to him, are we blind also? Verse 41, Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. In other words, if you were blind, that's not a problem. I mean, I've just helped somebody who was blind. Your problem is that you're not just blind. You do not even appreciate and agree to the fact that you are blind. So you can't be helped. I usually say it this way. He who knows not, and he knows not that he knows not, is a fool. Run away from him. You get it? So, for instance, he who knows not and he knows not that he does not know is a fool. You run away from him. Now, listen to this. He who knows not, and he knows that he knows not, is a child. Teach him. All right. So, Jesus had a problem with these people, not just because they were blind, but because they did not even appreciate that they were blind. So, they won't even, if you don't know that you are blind, how do you ask people to help you? That was the contest. And Jesus started this incredible story. Incredible story. This I refer to it as a word picture. He wanted to give a word picture to them. And he started talking about the situation with the sheep. Now, he gave them two different contexts. He first gave them a first context, which is from verse 1 to verse number 5. And then because they had trouble with that, he gave another context from verse 7 to verse 9. Now, people of God, note this. This is important. What he talked about in chapter 1 to verse 5 is a bit different from what he talked about in chapter 7 to verse 9. And it's very important you understand it, because if you mash them together, you miss the story. Now, he gave them the story of how shepherds, and these people are very good at shepherding business. That's what they do. As a major, you know, it was a major occupation in their day and time. So it was not very difficult for them to appreciate what he was talking about, you know. And he gave them this story of the shepherds. So what they will do in their day and time is that there are two kinds of scenarios that Jesus has painted here. There is a scenario of what takes place within the town or the village, and there is the scenario of what takes place in the pasture land, or what you call the countryside. Now, let me give you the scenario of what takes place within the village. Now, within the village, each shepherd will have his own sheep. I remember we touched a little bit on this when we were doing a series late last year that we titled Loud and Clear. You remember we talked about Loud and Clear a long time ago? All right, Loud and Clear, and we talked about sheep in fellowship. We touched a little bit on this, but let me talk a little bit about the aspect that we did not delve much into. Now, so each shepherd will have his own sheep and the flock of sheep. Now, they didn't have too many sheep, so we're not talking about hundreds or thousands of sheep here. Bible scholars talk about it as maybe in the range of, you know, a few scores, 20, 30, you know, a few dozens, you know, 40, thereabout. That's the kind of, so when you have that, you are made. That's what you do, you know, as a shepherd. Now, so in a town, each shepherd will take his flock out to graze. And then in the evening, they will bring them into the city, into the town or into the village. Now, they have built a place which is called a sheepfold, what we refer to as a pen. And then each shepherd will bring his own flock of sheep into the pen. Now, in that place, as they are bringing the sheep in there, there is somebody that is called a doorkeeper. Now, the doorkeeper watches over the sheep overnight. So when the shepherd brings his own flock in, he will bring them into the sheepfold, and the doorkeeper will be the one that will watch over them overnight. He doesn't need to do anything, just to make sure that nobody goes in there. Now, Jesus is bringing this analogy between himself as the true shepherd and the Pharisees that he had just encountered as the false shepherd. Because if it was a true shepherd, then the welfare of the sheep will be important to him. Now, this man was born blind. Anyone that is a good shepherd will celebrate when there is a breakthrough in any area of the life of the sheep, but not the false shepherd. So Jesus was bringing a comparison between himself as a good shepherd and the Pharisees as the false shepherd. And we read, so that's the context. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other ways, the same is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So the shepherd brings his own and takes them in, and the shepherd goes home. But because it's not just one shepherd in the village, another shepherd brings his own sheep also, bring them into the sheepfold, and the third one, and maybe the fourth one. So here we have three different flock belonging to three different shepherds, accommodated within the same pen or sheepfold overnight, kept indoor by the doorkeeper. You get the story? Yeah, that is what takes place within the village. Now, so when the shepherd comes in the morning, the shepherd, who is known to the doorkeeper, because when he comes, the doorkeeper knows him. So the doorkeeper opens the door, and then he goes in there. He calls his own sheep by name, and that's not difficult to hear, to understand, because, I mean, we give our pet names, okay? Don't forget, they are not hundreds and thousands. So every one of them, because of the intimacy of the shepherd with the sheep, he knows them individually by name. And so he will call his own sheep. And listen to this. Out of the different three or four flock that is present in there, it is his own sheep that will follow him. It's very profound. His own sheep will follow him. So when he calls them by their name, or he makes a whistle or whatever it is, the sheep understand that this is my shepherd, and so they follow him. The doorkeeper does not check the sheep that follow the shepherd out. He has no business with it. The job of the doorkeeper is to make sure that no thief and robber come in. It's only the shepherd that comes in. Who goes out with the shepherd? The doorkeeper is so sure that it's only your sheep that goes out with you. All right? And so it's your sheep that goes out with you. And so you as the shepherd number one, you come in there, you take your sheep, and your sheep follow you. All right? And then shepherd number two comes in, identify himself. Of course, the doorkeeper knows him, and he goes in there and he takes his own sheep. That's why the word own is important. His own sheep, because there are other sheep in the fold. All right? And he takes them out. And that's what happens. But a thief and a robber will not come in through the door. Why? Because the doorkeeper will not allow him in. So he will have to use some other means to get into the sheep and take them away. That's the first scenario. All right, people of God, just follow me. Now, sometimes, and that's what you have in from verse number 1 to verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. That was their shepherding business in their day. It's different from a sheep farmer in Australia. A sheep farmer in Australia does not have time to listen and give names to thousands of sheep. He doesn't have that time. All right? I mean, and then, so when he wants to gather them, he does not lead them. He gets on his motorbike, gets his dogs, and they chase them inside. That's what a sheep farmer will do. And that's why when you think about a sheep farmer that we see today, you can't appreciate what a shepherd was to them in those days. Okay, so, but sometimes the shepherd will take the sheep out of the village. into the countryside, what we refer to as the pasture land. And this is very important because it's crucial to us understanding him as the door. So it will take them out into the into the pasture land. And when they get into the pasture land, they don't return into the village. Perhaps because of there has been a change in season. There is not much grass around in the village, so they will have to, you know, take some trip out of the village. So wherever they are, you will have to camp them there. Now, what he will do is that he will make an enclosure. He will make an enclosure using stones and rock to make the enclosure round. And then he will leave an entrance into that enclosure. That particular sheepfold is not as sophisticated, if you want to use that word, as the one in the village. It's not very high. It's just you know, some heights to keep the sheep in there. And then it will make an entrance for the sheep to go in. And then what it will do is that at night, when they have finished grazing, rather than going back to the village, it will take them into this sheepfold or the pen, if you like, in the countryside. And because it does not have a door, it will lie across the entrance. Dangerous job. I know you won't want to do that, okay? It will lie across the entrance, and it becomes the door. There is no physical door. It becomes the door. So when Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep," he's talking about the door in this context. And that's why I said verse 1 to verse 5 talks about what takes place within the village. When you go above that, you're talking about the context of what takes place in the pasture. And as a matter of fact, he actually went into this because they did not understand the first. Look at verse number 6. Jesus, in verse number 6 of John chapter 10, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So they didn't understand. And then he started another thing. And he said, then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, when he said, "I am the door of the sheep," the people that were present in his day and time, they understood exactly what he was talking about. If you tell me I am the door of the sheep, what I think about is my nice door, you know, my entrance door. But that was not what Jesus was referring to. And the people that were present understood what he was talking about. Now, think about it this way. Just get a clip of the news that you have listened to today and let them keep it for another 200 years. And let them play the same clip of news to the people that will be living in 200 years. Many of them will get confused. Why? Because the context has changed. Things have moved. Now we're still talking about, you know, you get petrol into your car. Maybe they don't even know what petrol is anymore at that time. They are flying, you know. So when you talk about petrol, they're like, they don't understand. So the context has changed. We're talking about 2,000 years before now. All right? So he becomes the door of the sheep. It's very interesting. Old Testament scholar that visited the Middle East some years back, and he found a particular shepherd, and this shepherd was telling him about the way they take care of their sheep, and they narrated the story of how they keep the sheep in the pen when they go into the countryside, and they actually showed him, and he asked an interesting question. So he found that there was no door to it, and he said, "So where is the door? Did somebody remove it?" And this guy, who happened to be the shepherd, said, "No, I am the door. I am the door." This was never a Christian. He was not a believer. He probably did not know what we're talking about. "I am the door of the sheep because I lie down there. Nothing goes in without touching me. Nothing comes out without touching me. I am the door of the sheep." Now, listen to what Jesus said about this. This is very profound. Okay. Verse number 8. "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 9, "I am the door." So when he talks about thieves and robbers, he was referring to the people in his day and time, Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the people that will invoke the religious, you know, pattern of life and care nothing about. I mean, somebody had just received his sight. You should be excited. The man was born blind. But you are asking questions that he shouldn't have been done. More so, it's a Sabbath day. That's wickedness. But that's what religion does to people. It takes away the dispensation of grace and of liberty and enclose them in religion and in philosophies of men. All right. So he says, all the people that have come before me, he didn't say all the, because people sometimes say, oh, he was talking about the prophets, Moses, Elijah. No, that's not what he says. He said, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. They were not. He said, ah. So he was referring to people in his own day. They were not thieves and robbers. They had thieves and robbers. And by the way, whatever Moses and the other whole prophets came to do was not before Christ. It was with Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Said, the Lord will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me. Referring to Jesus. Moses was speaking about that thousands of years before then, or hundreds of years before then. Anyway, that's not the crux of the matter. Let's just focus on verse 9, because this is key. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, the door we're talking about now, somebody will say, okay, so maybe he's talking about the shepherd. If anybody enters by me, maybe he's talking about the shepherd entering by him. No. Why did I say so? Because he said, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The shepherd does not need to be saved. It's the sheep that does need to be saved. The one who provides the salvation is the shepherd. So this is talking about the sheep, not the shepherd. Now, listen to this. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The beauty of it is when Jesus gives, you know, metaphors, in the context, he actually gives explanations. And so we don't have to rack our brain to begin to look for things and find out what does it mean to come in into Jesus, Jesus being the door. It's all there in the scriptures. Now, let me say this clearly before we go on. When the Bible says, if anyone enters by me, what does that mean? If anyone enters by me. Now, so what this shepherd will do is that he will lie, so he will bring his sheep from the pasture land into this enclosure at night. And then before they go in, he will get his rod out. So he will use his rod and just run it over them. You know, they come with, what do you call that stuff? The skin. They have a lot of wool. All right, yeah. Some of you think I'm looking for something big. No, wool, okay? And it will run it over them because sheep are very defenseless. You know, they just go. Some of us have not seen sheep before. I mean, live sheep. But we have seen them in our pots, you know, the mutings that we get from them. But sheep are very defenseless. They just go with, and they follow whoever is leading. So if I'm sheep one and I'm the one in front, everyone follows me. If for any reason another sheep comes before me, they follow that one. No leader. All right? They are very defenseless. They can't do. So the shepherd will run his rod over them to look for bruises, to look for injuries, to look for, you know, dislocations or whatever has gone wrong with the sheep. And if everything is right with this sheep, he allows him in. They pass through him into that enclosure. So when the Bible says whoever enters through me, is talking about us submitting ourselves to his lordship. The rod is a sign of authority. Psalm chapter 110 from verse 1 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemy. You send the rod to what? To rule. It's a sign of authority. Okay, so when we come in through Christ and enter in there, we're submitting ourselves to his lordship, to his authority. We recognize him as Lord. And so that's the way we get entrance into that. And that's why it says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 30, I will make you pass under my rod. God speaking to Israel. You know, so when we come into him, we come in recognizing him as our Lord, as the authority. So we get in there. Now, he will do that for each one of them. And they go into that place, into that enclosure, and he will slip across. Now, the reason why he slips across is this. If there is any wolf in that particular area that needs to go in there, they will have to go through the shepherd. In other words, the wolf does not have access to a single sheep until he has finished dealing with the shepherd. So for any life of any sheep to have been lost, the shepherd must be gone. I mean, gone means dead. For any sheep to be taken. And note, no shepherd crosses his body without his permission. So they are kept safe in there. And then in the morning, the arrangement is different from what obtains in the village, because he is the shepherd, he is the door. So there is no shepherd coming to go through him. That's why you don't have a doorkeeper in the countryside, in the pasture land. The shepherd is the door. Okay. And then in the morning, he wakes up and check his sheep and say, let's go. It's a very difficult business, shepherding in their day and time. And you can imagine, they don't sleep like some of us will sleep, you know. You know, some people, when they sleep, it's like, God have mercy. You know, when they sleep, they are gone, as in really gone. It takes the resurrection power of God to wake them up in the morning, because they have no idea of what takes place around them. A shepherd will not do that. Now, listen to this. Now, so I am the door. Whosoever enters through me. So we have established that you come in through the Lord Jesus Christ. You recognize him as Lord. As Lord is important. Not just as Savior. Because this experience that we're going to be talking about, this benefit, is only applicable to the sheep that is within that enclosure. Why did I say that? So, because there may be other sheep that are lost. You know, they wander a lot. When the sheep is eating and grazing, he has no clue, no idea of what goes on in his environment. He just focuses on that as if his life and depends on that. He has no clue. So they get lost a lot. So those ones don't have this benefit that we're going to be talking about, the three of them. It's the sheep within the enclosure that have this benefit. So this is the benefit of having Jesus as the door through whom you pass into the enclosure. Number one, what does it, and I will call them the B statements. There are three of them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will what? Be saved. He will be saved. So when you submit to my authority and lordship, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wolves of life. We are living in a very wild world. Wild world. And for us to experience this, you know, many of us, when we think about salvation, we think about something that adds value to us. Or rather, we think about something that adds value to the value that we've got. Be saved means be rescued. When you are saved, it's not adding value to you, it's making you to become valuable. Because you add no value. A sheep outside of the enclosure adds no value. It's as good as dead until you find him. So the salvation we're talking about is submitting to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and coming in there. Why did I say so? Because there are sheep that are not in that enclosure. There are sheep in the context of the fact that they have accepted Jesus as their Savior. They are sheep. They are sheep in that sense. But they are not in the enclosure. They have not submitted to the authority and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they don't have access to this salvation that we're talking about. So this is another layer of salvation, just more than what, well, I'm saved. I confess Jesus. You know, I got born again. It talks about an authority that comes under the rod of the guidance of the shepherd as you go into the enclosure. That's the only guarantee. So if you are a sheep outside of that enclosure, you're not safe. You may be a sheep, but you're not safe if you're not within that enclosure. In other words, the authority and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ is what guarantees that you are really safe from the forces of life. Okay, so he said, the will be saved. So, in other words, they will be rescued from the elements of darkness. There are elements of the powers of darkness in our world, and they're tearing people apart, including believers, who you refer to as sheep. Including believers. The more reason why you need to come under the lordship and the rod and come into the enclosure. So the first one is be saved. So it will be saved. If you are not, somebody will say, if you are not saved, you are not safe. Safety is a function of salvation. Salvation in this context is coming under the rod of his authority and coming into the enclosure. What does that mean? Accepting him as your Lord. What do you say, Lord? Yeah, I'll do it. What's your opinion? Yeah, mine is irrelevant. That's lordship. That's what guarantees that you are safe. Okay. He said they will come in and say, thanks. All right. Number two. It says in verse 9, and we go in and out. And they will go in and out. So the first one is be saved. The first one is be saved. Then the second one is be free. Be free. Now, what does that going in and out mean? It's an old testament word, an expression rather, that talks about carrying out your normal activities. So when you say somebody is going in and out, it means he is carrying out his normal activities. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6, the Bible says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. In other words, when you carry out your activities of daily living, the people call it ADLs, activities of daily living, you know, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You go to your work, you will be blessed. You are at home washing the dishes, you will be blessed. You are in the sport ground playing, you will be blessed. All right? That's what it means. So they will go in and come out. You know, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 121 and verse 8, it says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, referring to the same thing. They will be blessed. You know, in their daily activities, they will be blessed. Now, but there is a part of that also talks about freedom to do and to carry out what you are supposed to carry out. There is a sense of freedom and liberty that is attached to that expression. So when you say you'll be able to go in and come out, it means you are able to freely do what you want to do. In their day and time, they talk about something called a siege. When a city is under siege, you can't come in, you can't go out. So when he talks about going in and coming out, he's talking about an experience of liberty and freedom to be able to do what you want to do. Another way to talk about it is you are free, you know, you're carefree. You know, carefree is different from careless. Okay? You're carefree. There is nothing that perturbs you. You're not intimidated. You're not oppressed. You're not restricted. You're not constrained. You know, nothing causes worries and anxiety for you. Why? Because you are within the enclosure. You have passed through the door. The sheep that is outside does not have that guarantee. But if you are within, you are guaranteed that you will be kept, you know, you are free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, there is freedom, there is liberty. Have you spoken to some people and they tell you their experience and they narrate it this way, you know, I'm just constrained. And you say, but you are okay, you're free. You know, no, you don't understand. You know, within, things are just not right. There is fear, there is trepidation, there is anxiety. But the sheep within the enclosure does not have that experience. He's carefree. You know, some people are thinking about what will happen tomorrow, what will happen next year, how will that, you know. The sheep in the enclosure does not have that. He's carefree. His cares have been taken over because there is a shepherd. There is a door. He has passed through the door. So the first is be saved. The second is be free. And third and finally, because of our time, be fed. The Bible says, and they will go in and come out and find what? Pasture. And find pasture. Because in the morning, what the door will do is that it will take his sheep out. You now know who the door is. The door is indeed the shepherd. It will take them to the pasture. These are the things that we are guaranteed. Like I said, these are invitations. So when Jesus says, I am the door, he says, come in through me, enter into me, enter through me into the enclosure. I will ensure that you are saved. I will ensure that you are free, free, free from worries, free from anxiety, free from intimidation. I will ensure that. And I will ensure that you get to the pasture. I will get you fed and sustained. That's what it means. They understood exactly what Jesus meant when he said, I am the door. But we needed to go through this because we don't live within the same context. Now, finally, people of God, somebody will say, so, if I am a believer, why am I not experiencing these things that you've talked about? Or I'm not experiencing it to the measure that I want to experience it. I will tell you, there are three possibilities that I can figure out. Number one, and it comes in the question form, are you a sheep? Are you a sheep? Because if you are not a sheep, you can't be saved, you can't be free, you can't be fed. And the Bible is very clear about what a sheep means fundamentally. Matthew chapter 25, he says he will separate the sheep from the goat. A sheep is somebody that recognizes Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay? So are you a sheep? Are you saved? In simple context, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you born again? To make it clearer. That's the only guarantee into the enclosure. Are you a sheep? Number two, who is your shepherd? Because it is possible to be a sheep and have the wrong shepherd. Jesus, when he was talking in chapter 9, was saying that this blind man was a sheep, but he had the wrong shepherd. And his shepherd were the Pharisees. There are people in our day who are guided by the principles of and the ideologies of the world. They are born again people, but they are under religion. It's the religion perspective that they live their lives under. They have the wrong, a false shepherd, as it were. There are ideologies of men that people bring and import into the church and they guide their lives by it. That's been led by the false shepherd. So the first thing, are you a sheep? If you're a sheep, I congratulate you. Do you have the right shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our soul? And how will he guide us? He will guide us through his word, the word of God. That's how he will guide us. And that's why you need to bring yourself under an atmosphere where the word of God comes alive. That's the only way that you can get access to being led by the true shepherd. The third and final thing, if you say, yes, I'm a sheep. Yes, I recognize Jesus as my shepherd. The third thing is, have you entered via the door? Have you entered via the door? You remember what I said? Being a sheep is not enough for you to experience the benefit of the covering of the door. You need to enter through him. You need to enter through him. And to enter through him is to submit your life to his guidance. You know, being Lord is a very deep thing. It means your opinion is irrelevant. You know, I've read some people and they say, you know, this is what I think. No, you're your thing. When you come into this kingdom, you drop it. When you come into the kingdom of light, you don't have any thought of your own that can advance you. Otherwise, you'll have been more advanced than this. When you come into the kingdom, it is the word of God that guides and it's the opinion of the word that matters. So, this is the way I do my thing. I'm sorry, that's not, if the Bible says if they do not speak according to the word, there is no light in them. This is the way I run my family. Is it in conformity with the word? This is the way I run my finances. Is it in conformity with the word? This is the way I run my relationship. Is it in conformity with the word? Because if it's not, then you have not, the sheep, as you are, has not passed through the door. And I'm afraid the destiny of such a sheep is disaster. Because there is no covering. This is the way it works, people of God. Let's walk into the sheep. Let's walk, rather, through the door. And find rest. And find enclosure. And find peace. Because Jesus still remains today in the 21st century, the door through which every sheep ought to come to experience those three benefits. Be saved, be free, be fed. Let us pray.